Our service is just a 1 hour service today. And if you are new to church, we really feel honored that you're with us today. May God bless you. Let me just let you know what's going to happen. So right now we're going to have a scripture reading. And what we've done is we've taken the four accounts of the crucifixion of Jesus from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels in the New Testament, and we've condensed them together into one narrative that we're going to read to you. Interspersed throughout that narrative is a quote from Isaiah 52 and also some quotes from Isaiah 53. And so the singers are still on the stage behind me. They're going to read this in just a moment. Then I'm going to come and say a few words about Jesus dying on the cross for us. I also want to let you know that we're then going to give a moment in the service for you to make your peace with God. So you've come here today and to honor God and maybe come with family. But also it's important that you have a moment yourself where you ask Jesus to wash away your sins. So I want you to know that's going to happen. So as you hear this scripture, just let it, Lord, speak to your heart today and prepare your heart to get right with God. Then after that, we will finish with communion and we will go out blessed of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. So we will be finished by 10 o'clock. But right now, I'm going to ask the singers one by one. They're going to come and read the scriptures. Thank you.
So the soldiers and the temple guards arrested Jesus and tied him up. Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they mocked, as they slapped him across the face. "He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." Pilate went outside and said to the people, "I am going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly that I find him not guilty." Then Jesus went out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said, "Look, here is the man." But they were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. The leading priests and temple guards began shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Take him yourselves and crucify him," Pilate said. "I find him not guilty." The Jewish leaders replied, "By our law, he ought to die because he called himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was more frightened than ever.
Then Pilate tried to release him, but the Jewish leader shouted, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who declares himself a king is a rebel against Caesar." When they said this, Pilate brought Jesus out to them again. Then Pilate sat down on the judgment seat. It was now about noon, on the day of preparation for the Passover. And Pilate said to the people, "Look, here is your king." "Away with him," they yelled. "Away with him. Crucify him." "What? Crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the leading priests shouted back. Then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus away, carrying the cross by himself. He went to the place called Golgotha. There they nailed him to the cross. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." Two others were crucified with him, one on either side with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it.
Then the leading priests objected and said to Pilate, change it from the King of the Jews to, he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate replied, no, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said, rather than tear it apart, let's throw dice for it. This fulfilled the scripture that says, they divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing. So that is what they did. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he is really the God's Messiah, the chosen one. And the soldiers mocked him too. And they offered him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him, and he looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care.
One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, so you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminals protested, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you abandoned me? But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. Wait, he said, let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom.
Then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And those words, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, this man truly was the Son of God. It was the day of preparation, and the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath, and a very special Sabbath because it was Passover week. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering that their legs be broken. Then their bodies could be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. These things happened in fulfillment of the scriptures that say, not one of his bones will be broken, and they will look on the one they pierced. But he was pierced for our rebellion and crushed for our sins. Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea came and took the body away. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. And since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
Thank you. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came into the world, that he had created, but the world did not recognize him. That was 2,000 years ago. I don't think much has changed, has it, over 2,000 years? Jesus Christ was rejected, and although he had done nothing wrong or sinful, Jesus Christ died a criminal's death. And crucifixion was for criminals. Crucifixion was cruel, it was barbaric, and it was humiliating. Jesus died a terrible death. Nonetheless, behind the crucifixion of Jesus, something else was going on. For as Jesus died on the cross, God the Father took the punishment that was meant to be poured out upon humanity for all of our wickedness, and God unleashed that punishment upon Jesus Christ instead. Jesus was sinless. He was not punished for his own sins because he had committed no sins. This divine punishment was for our wickedness. It was for our wrongdoing. It was for our sins, because everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says this: Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. The Bible also says, for God made Christ Jesus, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And you know, everybody, it is just so important to be right with God. To be right with God is more important than your career or your house. To be right with God is the most important thing in your life. And that's because only those people who are right with God will enter heaven and have the gift of eternal life. Why does God bother about whether we are right with him or not? Why? Why does God bother with me? Why does God make a big deal about whether we go to heaven or not? Why is God bothered about you? The Bible answers that question for us, and it says this simply: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves people. Amen. Yes. That is the greatest mystery in all of eternity. Yeah. God loves people. Why? I don't know, but God loves people. And let me say this: God loves you. God loves you. Other people might not love you, but God loves you. That's what Good Friday is all about. And so, because God loves you, he's made a way for you to escape the punishment for your sin. He's made a way for you to enter heaven when your heart stops beating. And that way to heaven is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man gets right with God except through Jesus Christ. The world, yes, rejected Jesus. I know that today, those attending church across Australia will be many people, but it will still be the minority of Australians. The world rejected Jesus, but to all who believe Jesus and accepted him, the Bible said God has given them the right to become children of God and to have a place in heaven. What about you? What's going on with you? Will you receive Jesus today and be made right with God? We're going to have a moment where we can reflect on this in just a moment. But I hope that you would open your heart to Jesus. Now, I've got a little illustration my right, your left, that I hope will better explain why Jesus came. So on my right, your left, I've got three vases. One of these vases here represents Jesus Christ. Can everybody see that? I hope that you can. One of these vases represents sin. And the other vase, this is you. These vases represent Jesus, sin, and you. Please notice that the sin vase in the middle is dirty and dark. When we brought these out, I warned Daniel who brought it out, be careful you don't spill it on your clothes, because that'll be the end of your clothes. It's dirty, it's dark. It represents our sin. Sin is a funny word, but really it just simply means, it's another word for wickedness. Evil. Sin is evil. Sin is doing things our way instead of doing things God's way. And sin and evil fill the entire world. The world's in a mess because of sin. And we know that people are capable of doing dark things where we hurt one another. That's sin. And it's our sin in our hearts. It's our sin, the evil in our hearts, that has brought destruction, pain, and death upon the world. There is so much pain in the world, but it's all because of sin. And because sin is so devastating, God will never, ever, ever, ever allow sin to enter into heaven. Sin must be, and it will be, destroyed. And that day is coming soon when sin will be eradicated. But that is a problem for you and for me. That's because we have sin and evil in our hearts. We're sinners. You've sinned. Lots of times. Who's sinned this week? Don't put your hand up. Amen. Who's sitting next to somebody who's sinned? You can put your hand up on that one. Yeah. We're all sinners. And we have darkness inside of us. Even sweet, nice people, and no offense to anybody. Actually, I'm not worried about causing offense today. Even sweet, nice people have darkness in their hearts. And you may wish to always do good. Wouldn't it be great to get through a whole day without sinning? Amen? You're probably all better than I am. But you wish to do good. But, you know, that's just impossible. Because we still give into temptation. We disobey God. We hurt other people. We've got sin lurking within us. You've got sin lurking within you that hijacks you from time to time. And that sin makes you dirty before Jesus Christ. And you're dirty before all of heaven. Therefore, that sin that is attached to you will keep you out of heaven. But thank God for sending Jesus. Jesus died on the cross because of the sin inside of you. He died so you could be made right with God. That's a good place to say amen. Amen. And when you put your trust in Jesus and ask Jesus to forgive you, then Jesus comes in and cleanses your heart from the sin, evil, and darkness that lurks within. He washes away all your sin. Amen. And it looks something like this when you say, oh Lord Jesus. Some of you are going to do this today. You're going to say, oh Lord Jesus, please wash away my sin. Please forgive me. And Jesus takes his righteousness and he pours it into you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That's you. That's you. Only Jesus can wash away sin.
Amen.
You can go for counseling. That's great. But it will never wash away your sin. You could put lots of money in the offering. That's great, and we hope that you do. But it will never wash away your sin. Can't buy your way into heaven. What can wash away my sin? nothing. Today, in a moment, you can ask Jesus to wash away your sin. And if sin has got a grip on your life again, you can ask Jesus to wash away your sin again. Now, Jesus Christ died on the cross to wash away all our sins. And this is a thing. Jesus, these are just vases, but Jesus actually never runs out of the ability to wash away your sins away. In fact, Jesus Christ, his death is more powerful than all of the sins in the world. If all the people in the world would let Jesus wash away their sins, he has the power to wash away everybody's sin. Because he's the conqueror over our sins. Amen. 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 It's a little bit yellow, but anyway, we'll keep going. On the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Jesus said this for those who crucified him, but he also said it for us all. And nothing compares. It's funny, as I'm talking to you, I've got another narrative going on in my head right now, and I'm trying to stay focused so I don't ruin things. But I've got a flashback to the day when I received Christ myself. As I'm talking to you, I just remember as a boy being forgiven of my sins. I remember. It was funny. It was in a children's meeting, and I remember receiving Christ. And I can remember then going out, and I was playing in a sandpit afterwards, telling these other kids how I felt my heart was so clean. I remember doing that as I'm doing this right now. Nothing compares with the experience of being forgiven of your sins and being made right with God. So before we receive communion, what about you? What about you? Today's your chance. Today's your opportunity to get right with God. So why don't we just bow our heads and close our eyes, just reflect upon Jesus dying on the cross. We had those beautiful scriptures read to us. What about you? Are you right with God? And you know, you're perhaps new, and you've come because of family, or just thought you'd just come. And we're so glad that you're here, but you're not here by chance. You're here because God's been thinking about you all your life. He loves you so much. He's knocking on the door of your heart today and say, "Will you open your heart to me and allow me to come and make you right with God?" And so I'd love to pray with you. That's a pretty big deal, I guess, because there's a lot of people here. But you know, staying where you are, if you're saying yes, would you say a prayer for me? I really want to be right with God. I don't want to live my own way anymore. I want to live for God. And I just need my sins to be washed away, because if you knew what I'd done, if you knew, but today I need Jesus' help. Would you pray for me that he would forgive me and wash away all my sins? Yeah, I'll pray for you. There's a lot of people here who have done this before like I did. We received Jesus. This is your moment. If you like prayer and you're saying, "I like prayer for forgiveness of sins," if that's you, just give me a wave of your hand and I'll pray for you right now. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you. Lots of people. God bless you down the back. Yeah. This is really a sacred, holy moment. God bless you down the front again. Anybody else? We're just going to pray right now. God bless you. Thank you. Okay, and right down the back, on the back row. God bless you. Sin's a terrible thing, isn't it? It's a spiritual cancer that Jesus has come to conquer. Put our hands upon your hearts, everybody, and let's just pray. In fact, why don't we pray together? What if our lead is in this? I'll repeat a line. You repeat after me. And those who just raise their hands, just by faith, just receive forgiveness in Jesus' name. So here we go. Please repeat after me. Almighty God, thank you for Jesus, who you sent into the world to save lost sinners like me. And I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for my punishment and my sins. And so, Almighty God, I open my heart to you. And I ask for forgiveness of all of the dark things, the wicked things, the evil things that I have ever done, I ask today that you'll forgive me, that you'll cleanse me, and that you'll give me a clean heart. I receive Jesus Christ into my life today. And I receive His salvation and His forgiveness into my life today. Thank you, Almighty God, for listening to me. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. And Father, we just pray you put a seal upon that. Pray for every sincere heart today. Lord, that's reached out to you. We just thank you that you're forgiving. You're forgiving. You're cleansing people today. Lord, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We've come into this place today. It's been great. But we're going to go out changed and clean and forgiven in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.